Welcome to the Autism and Theology podcast, brought to you by the Centre for Autism and Theology at the University of Aberdeen. Welcome to the Autism and Theology podcast, a space where we engage with the latest research in the field of autism and theology and hear life stories related to autism and faith. Today, I'm joined by Pastor David, Audrey and David Han, who are all involved in the Chapel of Christ Our Hope in Singapore, a church that is run with the needs of autistic people at the heart of their practice. I'd like to start by introducing everyone. So starting with Pastor David, and then going to Audrey, and then David Han. Would you like to share a little bit about yourselves for our listeners?
Thank you for having me. Well, a bit about myself. I enjoy sports, food, and coffee. I also enjoy being out in the nature and outdoors. In Singapore, I serve as an Anglican priest with the Diocese of Singapore. And I also serve as an honorary priest to the Chapel of Christ Our Hope, which is a church that seeks to embrace persons with autism and their families. But I'm also a full-time chaplain at the St. Andrew's Autism Center. The center offers lifespan support to persons with autism through special education school, through a day activity centers for adults, and a residential home for adults.
I'm Audrey. I'm a first year PhD student here at Aberdeen, studying with Leon Van Omen. And I think I always knew I saw the world a little differently from most of the people around me. And I used to attribute it to various other factors, depending on the situation I was in. I only received my autism diagnosis from a clinical psychologist pretty well into my adulthood. And, you know, this is already having gone through one career in law, running a social enterprise, getting a theology degree. And I found it pretty significant that it was in the process of earning the theology degree in seminary that led to my diagnosis, because I think church and religious settings hold particularly high expectations of homogeneity. And it also possesses many perplexing contradictions that the autistic brain cannot help noticing. So I think I was struggling with that, and various factors came together, and good friends sent me prompts, even the contact for the center I eventually went to. And receiving the diagnosis was at first really shocking. And then it was also a life-changing pivot for me in terms of accepting myself fully, just as I was made. And eventually that led me here to Aberdeen to do my research on neurodiversity.
Okay, I'm David Han, right? And I am a political scientist at the Nanyang Technological University of Singapore. And I do research on foreign policy and a lecture on political science, right, in this university. And I guess the question on people's mind is, how do I know that I'm autistic? I think to follow on from what Audrey has said just now, I found out that I was autistic, right, late into my adulthood, about 4 years ago in 2020. And that was the year when the pandemic started. And I was in the second year of my doctoral studies in London. And because of some difficulties in relationships, I sought to engage, you know, in counseling. I sought to engage, right, in seeking help to find advice as to how I could be in a relationship with a sister, for instance. So I was introduced to a particular sister, and I was told that her brother was autistic. So I decided to read up about autism, and something clicked within my mind. And I realized that, is it possible that I could have all these symptoms? Is it possible that I could be autistic? And I began to reflect upon my life. And I realized that many of the difficulties that I faced in the past especially social challenges, right, could be attributed, right, to autism. So I asked my close friends in church and my family members. And when I asked my close friends in church, they said that when they knew me, they knew that I had autism, but they did not share to me, right, their concerns, because they were not trained medical or trained to psychologist. So I decided to get a proper diagnosis in 2020. And that's how I got to realize that indeed, right, I was autistic. And to cut the story short, how did I come to know about CCH, or Chapel of Christ of Hope? I was introduced to this church, right, through Mr. Liao Wenping, who is also a key figure within the Koi Nyonya Inclusion Network of Singapore. And I got to know him because I wanted to find out more about disability ministries. And so that's how I got to know about Pastor David Teo and other people within the Chapel of Christ of Hope. And just to add on, I think one of my special interests, right, is theology. As you know, autistic people have their special interests. So that's my area of special interest, which is the secondary expertise that I have, right, in addition to my expertise in political science. So I hope that gives a good introduction of who I am.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will relate to that special interest in theology. Thank you all so much for sharing about yourselves. It's great to hear more about you all. Pastor David, I'd love to hear a little bit more about the Chapel of Christ Our Hope and what it is and how it started.
Well, Chapel of Christ Our Hope, maybe I'll use the short form CCH. How CCH started, it was really in the context of building an autism center for children and adults with high support needs who have learning disabilities and are also non-speaking. And of course, a residential home for adults was also built later. And all these were a response to God's call from the Diocese of Singapore. And so the chapel building was built at the heart of the center to inspire hope in Christ for the staff, for the families, the children, the parents, and others in the center. And so the pastor of the church chapel is also the chaplain of the center. The role of the chaplain was really to extend pastoral care to the staff, the students, the clients, residents, parents on a daily basis. So CCH was really to support the center through chaplaincy ministry, but it was also meant to support a spiritual family of all abilities. And that's how it was all started.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. It's so interesting. And I know from Leon, our co-director's research, there's a lot of different things that the church does to just welcome people. He often gives the description of the stained glass windows that you've got in the church. David, I know you shared a little bit about how you became involved, but I wonder if Audrey and David, could you, yeah, just share about how you became involved with the church and your experience of attending?
Okay, so it was actually Leon who introduced me to CCH. So, interesting connection. I had met Leon after he gave a talk in Singapore. Although I'd heard of this autism-focused church, I had not visited until then. So I decided to check it out and met Pastor David there. I met David Hahn there. I just kept going very quickly, becoming a part of the community. And before I came here to Aberdeen, I was attending every week. I was, you know, playing regularly in the worship band for about a year. And I think for me, I was just amazed at how autistic folks could be present in a liturgical Anglican service, and how members who were hypersensitive to sounds, they could just, you know, wear headphones, people were not disturbed by so-called unusual movements. There was just a lot of freedom there, and it reminded me of the challenges I had attending churches elsewhere that had given me sensory overloads, and then I'd be plugging my ears or squinting my eyes, and I didn't have that there, and it was very peaceful comparatively. So I told one of my old friends back home how I'd received my autism diagnosis, and she read up about it, and then she messaged me saying, "I finally understand now why you're always walking out of church services halfway for many, many years." I don't really do that nowadays because I've adopted other coping mechanisms to deal with the sensory triggers, but I have to say it's a lot lower in CCH. And so, you know, even I can play in the music band and we play contemporary songs, you know, but it's with drums and stuff. But it's, yeah, everything is just, I think, much more mindful of the needs of, I don't think it's just autistic people. It's just people, you know, and it's very comfortable that way. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's such an interesting point that it's for everyone. Like, it's not just specifically autistic people that these things can help. Like, it's, yeah, so mindful of every person. David Han, would you like to share about your experience of CCH?
Okay, I think I've just shared a bit about how I got to know about CCH. So perhaps just to back up what I've said just now, I think it's when I got my diagnosis, I wanted to be involved in disability ministry. And I think getting to know my autism changed many of my perspectives. Because I used to be from the Free Church of Scotland, although I might be a Singaporean. And so when I got to know about autism, it changed my perspective. And I think it drove me to seek out churches or seek out people who can give me an answer. So as I spoke about just now, I approached Mr. Liao Wenpin. And he said that within the first 15 minutes of my first meeting with him, he knew I was autistic. So how do you do that? Right? Again, you might want to ask him. But when after he introduced me to CCH and I came to CCH, I realized that this is a church which gives a lot of space and freedom for autistic people to be themselves, which is something which Audrey has shared just now. And you would have autistic people pacing around in the church. I mean, making the noise, making the sounds, and jumping around. And you will not be able to do that, right, in other churches. And I would dare to say that CCH is unique because, though it is liturgical church, right, but it has been able to modify its liturgy, right, to involve autistic people and non-autistic people to worship together, right, without separating autistic people away from non-autistic people in the worship of God. And I think it reflects powerfully, right, what it means to come together as a covenant family, right, to worship the one true and living God. And this is something which I'm touched by. And I have been involved in CCH in the hospitality ministry. And I've also been involved in the Rainbow of Hope, which is like a Sunday school for the autistic people with higher support needs. And so it has been an enriching experience for me, getting to know about autistic people, their different personalities. And it amazes me, right, that they are so unique individuals. They have their own way of thinking, their own way of seeing the world. And I think it sort of, you know, allowed me to have this change of perspective, if you may ask. And I think being in CCH has been a peaceful time for me, because the way the church building is constructed, the way the aesthetics are in place, it gives me a very peaceful sense compared to some other churches that have loud music, which, again, sometimes I would say that we need to lower down the volume, but I need not worry about that, right, in CCH. But to put it simply, I think it has been a church where I do not feel pressured, right, to be someone else. I feel that it is a place where I can be myself and to express how I feel, what I think, without having to conform stringently to what some neurotypicals might want me to be. That's what I have to say.
That's really amazing to hear both of your experiences and how Chapel of Christ Our Hope, or CCH, has been a place of belonging and freedom for you. And clearly CCH has worked so hard to be a place that can create that belonging and freedom for autistic people. And I'd be interested to hear from you all some of the ways that you've seen the church make a difference in individual lives and in wider society.
Well, maybe let me first share that I think a sense of belonging comes when we try to cultivate an inclusive environment for autistics, but together with the non-autistics. And of course, the autistics here, we're looking at the high support needs. And so we first need to understand, which may require a paradigm shift for many of us. So we ask the question, what are some of their learning disabilities, the range of communication assists needed for the non-speaking, what are their sensory issues, what are their likes and dislikes, and other helpful information that would help us to apply ourselves appropriately and intentionally. And besides knowing the child, it also helps to understand the struggle of parents in the home, or even within the community and in churches that they've been, so it's so as to provide an understanding environment, and so we found that by doing that by trying to understand them, we become not too quick to judge, and so the Lord prepares our hearts to look at them as individual persons, like any one of us. Understanding them also helps us to set the physical environment with visuals, with boundaries and space, and help them even to alleviate any kind of anxieties that they may have in a community setting. And this also helps the parents to be less anxious over their child. So I guess it's all of this together where parents slowly find, or families slowly find their relief, find relief and stability because of the church seeks to understand. And when parents are calm, because quite often it is the parents that become very anxious over the child. And so when they are calm in their hearts, they begin to feel the love of the people. I think that's when they get to feel. Otherwise, they are quite numb by the love that's around. And so, which is really moved by the love of the father over his children. And so they feel part of the family who was prepared to walk together, at least to some degree. And so families feel that they're not alone in this journey, but they have other brothers and sisters in Christ in this journey. I think that's one of the things I see, how this sense of belonging can happen.
I see it as a safe space for autistic people to just have regular Christian worship, because most other churches can't, or they won't deal with supposedly disruptive individuals. I say that with quote marks. And I think there's also this particularly, but not exclusively, Singaporean rationale that I'm quite critical of, where the reason for doing or not doing things is based on maximum efficiency. And there's like a lot of towing the official line given to you without question. When you have autistic folks who are a lot more resistant to the social norms present, then they become seen as a problem because they rock the boat. And even in other places where they have special needs ministries, again, quote marks, I have to bracket this as a term because I find it quite problematic. Although I'm trying to see the good intent behind it. It's kind of seen more from the charity model perspective, I would say, where it's like, oh, well, pity these poor autistic children. And that's also a problem where I think we are, even as adults, kind of seen as children. And so I think a lot of autistic members are still not fully integrated in the main life of the church. I'm not talking about CCH, talking about most of the churches. And even where there's ministry, it's kind of a sideshow ministry, and they're very well-meaning, you know. So I think you even have some sort of pause for consideration like that versus outright dismissal because the Singaporean stroke Asian response is always like, well, it's better than nothing, which is like, be grateful you have something. I think that in CCH, the leader tried to take into much greater account the needs of autistic people, rather than just dismissing them outright or minimizing them as inconvenient or unimportant. They're trying to model this, and I think there's still loads of room for improvement. I would say one critique I have is there isn't a lot of input from actually autistic people. That's probably the case everywhere. And I'm giving my input now. So yeah. I think, you know, Pastor David's very good at listening, and leadership is a challenge because, you know, a lot of people have different opinions about things. So, yeah, I mean, it's as I said, it's great that it exists. And there's room for improvement. But I think we are making progress, a lot of good progress.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's so interesting hearing about cultural influences on attitudes towards people. And yeah, that's important to think about as churches. And yeah, what you're saying about room for improvement, I guess it kind of brings hope to everyone, and churches who maybe aren't as progressed as Chapel of Christ are hope that actually everyone needs to improve, and it's not like you can find a perfect model necessarily, but yeah, it gives a bit of hope. David Han, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, and yeah, ways that you've seen the church making a difference.
Okay, I think I will carry on from what Audrey has to say. I think she has given an astute critique of how Singapore culture, right, influences the way churches in Singapore view and talk about autism. And from my own personal experiences, right, I think autism, right, is seen as something to be stigmatized. It is seen as something that should not be mentioned. And if I were autistic, I shouldn't be talking about it so loudly. And this is different, right, from what I have sensed in CCH. CCH gives me the space, right, to talk about the fact that I'm autistic, I have autism, I can talk about it without feeling the shame or stigma. But I do not think that this is the case, right, for other churches in general in Singapore. Because in Singapore, right, the culture is such that we prize efficiency, as Audrey has said just now, we prize ableism, we prize, right, people, right, who can climb up the social ladder and make it in life through their high-flying careers, their jobs. And having autism, my autistic people, is seen as a burden that requires our charity and our supposed compassion to be poured forth for these autistic people. And so that is why Audrey was saying that in some churches, perhaps a lot of churches, the charity model rules the day, and there is not much of an input, right, from actual autistic people, right, towards how churches function, towards how churches, right, could engage autistic people. So that is something that I share, a critique that I share with Audrey. And I think one thing that CCH challenges society or changes wider society is that when I see people involved in CCH, such as in worship ministry or other aspects of ministry within CCH, you will get the autistic people being involved in, let's say, worship team. I can safely say that in most churches, right, in Singapore, right, autistic people will probably not be considered as suitable people to be involved in worship team. Why? Because they're seen as deficient, not spiritual enough, and therefore they are excluded. But again, we know that this is ableism and the cult of normativity that influences these biases. So I think CCH does play a role to signal to other churches in Singapore that we should do away with this ableism. We should challenge the cult of normativity. And this is something where I see CCH playing a significant role in, although there can be room for improvement, as Audrey has said. And I think CCH has room for improvement as well on this matter. So I think that's what I wish to share to add on to what Audrey has to say.
Yeah, thank you all so much for sharing that. It's, yeah, so amazing. And I think I'm really struck by the way that just giving freedom and open spaces can challenge those cultural norms and that kind of cult of normalcy that you talked about. And just, yeah, it's amazing that actually it's such welcoming and calming steps that can do that. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. I'm wondering if David and Audrey, you've spoken a little bit about some of the challenges that you've faced as CCH members. And I'm wondering if, starting with Pastor David and then going to Audrey and David, you could share some of the ways that you see CCH developing and growing.
Well, definitely there's a lot of room for improvement. One is to raise leaders. We do need leaders in this church. Leaders would mean first, of course, to accept that we come from an Anglican church. So just some distinctiveness, just to understand some of these things and how we can adapt. And of course, it in tandem with that, to also understanding autism too, and how to make effort, how we can make effort to integrate everyone together, and having a decision making process that will really help everyone. The other thing is really another challenge is strengthening marriages, because many of our parents do struggle with a child with autism, especially those with who has children with the high support needs. They do face all kinds of things. So educating families on healthy biblical marriages, but also helping them to understand autism as well, because not many may appreciate what's going on in the child, the sensory issues. They may not. Fully appreciate all this, so there's a lot of education needed on families, to firstly of course biblical marriages, but also to understand autism and how they can be part of a community, but also to, I guess it's really giving them a sense of a family inside this spiritual church. So all many families become one spiritual family, because this is part of what CCH is about, is a community of faith in Christ that loves, grow, and serve. In fact, we have these three very key words in our mission or vision statement. Love here has got to do with how we are called to be a children of God, and therefore we God has called us to be a family of God. And so as a family of God, the key idea is that we are to love God and love one another. Then, of course, growing is got to do with how from 1 Peter, we are called out. We are called out once, right? So call out to do what? To be like Him, right? To reflect Him. So we are to grow into the likeness of Christ. And so that's another. So that's the people of God. We are called to be a people of God, to be like Him. And of course, the third word, serve, stems from the scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the body of Christ. The church is also the body of Christ. So the church is first the family of God. The church is the people of God. The church is also the body of Christ, where we also serve one another. We are all quite different. We are diverse. But we have, but we all have a purpose for the body, in building up the body. So we serve God's purpose in that sense. So I guess the challenge is really to help everybody understand some of these things and to follow through and to live it out, and to internalize and to live out some of these things, that we may experience Christ within the body, but also beyond that, ultimately the church is also to be a blessing to others. And that is why I think in the first 3 years, after 3 years into the formation of the church, I think we realized that there were other churches and communities who also wanted to learn how they can embrace persons with special needs in their own communities. And so they've made one or two visits to with us and had dialogues, had discussions and really wanting to do this. And so we see ourselves as inspiring other communities to better represent the nature of the church, really, in this broken world. So these are just some of my challenges that I think the church is moving forward.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's so interesting just the impact that educating people on autism can have on inclusion and belonging. And the impact you're having on other people and communities. Audrey, would you like to share anything about how you kind of see CCH developing and growing? I know you've shared a little bit, but...
For me, I hope that we'll be able to not just run services that are more mindful of autistic people present, but there'd be greater integration between neurotypical and neurodivergent members of religious communities. Like I said, I think religious communities tend to be, there's a lot more expectation of behavioral conformity and even thinking, in the same way. And I think we can share these spiritual values, I think there is a lot more freedom to be yourself. For example, I've been in Scotland for about 7-8 months, and it's been very different for me here. I think my mental health has really improved just because I felt like society is just less judgmental. So I think seeing CCH as what it is now, and as Pastor David said, people come to learn from us. I hope that we could be a leading voice for not just the services we run, but for a clear theology of autism that isn't based on the charity model of ministry or even tolerance, but which genuinely values neurodivergence. Not even saying it's a superpower, because there's a bit of that, that's kind of how people get over it. I think it's, can we see it as a legitimate difference? Can we have empathy and patience with one another? And autistics need patience with neurotypicals too, And even though it looks like there are different wavelengths in operation, so we might need to have a greater mutual appreciation of the multiplicity of ways of communication. And I think all behavior is communication. Autistic people have communicative behaviors that are less typical. And I think even maybe especially even the nonverbal forms, if we're willing to learn these other languages and listen to one another, then we give and we gain something truly beautiful and valuable. So I think this is very challenging in a fast-paced society that prizes, meritocracy and conformity, where I think that, even inclusion is seen by the state as setting KPIs. There are KPIs in their enabling master plan. And it's called enabling the disabled. So I mean, I have a lot to say about this. So I'm going to stop here just to say, I think there are multiple factors at play. And culturally, and by culture, I just mean, the sort of norms that we have. I hope that we can kind of expand that to say, maybe not one way is normative or acceptable, but there are multiple ways that we communicate, that we just allow people to live and to be.
Yeah, I think it's some of the things which I would like to share has been shared by Pastor David himself and even Audrey. And just to carry on from what Audrey has said, I think she was talking about the enabling plan. And as you know, in Singapore, to be critical of the government, right, could get me into trouble given the type of political system that we have in this country. But what I can say is that with regards to CCH, where I think it can develop in the years to come, it's not only to have more leaders who can understand autism, This is just to add on to what Pastor David has said. I think it is also good to have leaders who are autistic themselves. So they themselves will be able to understand what autism is about. And this is where my critique of the Enabling Singapore Plan comes in, because they talk about enabling. Enabling them, right, to fulfill certain functions within Singapore society, but not enabling them to fulfill leadership roles. Because there's an implicit assumption in the Singapore Enabling Plan that autistic people, right, can't fulfill important roles in society, such as leadership roles. And I hope the CCH can be that voice to challenge some of those assumptions. And I think this goes in well with what Scripture says. Even, you know, Apostle Paul in his book, or in his letter to the Corinthians, mentioned that not many of us are called, not many of us are wise according to world standards. So if we can have an autistic leader, autistic pastor, or people who take on leadership roles within the church, I think it will really magnify what Apostle Paul has to say in the letter to Corinthians. And I will also want to add on to what Audrey has to say, that had said just now, which is that there is a need for greater understanding of what autism is. It's not just deficit in human beings, it's a different way of being. And I hope the CCH, right, going forward, will be able to perhaps broaden its perspective of what autism is about, not just a set of deficits that needs to be handled properly, but it is a different way of being, a new divergence, where it is a different way of being in terms of how we understand the world, how we view the world. And I think we need to have the kind of cultural exposure, right? That kind of setting where people within CCH and outside of CCH will get exposed to different perspectives, to what neurodivergence is about. And because one of the things that I've noticed, even within the context of CCH, is that I've come across perspectives, right, that from family members or caregivers who would always view autism, right, as deficits, but not as a different way of being, which neurodivergent perspective would want to champion. So I think there is a need for growth in this aspect, a need for growth of greater appreciation by autistic people towards neurotypicals and vice versa. So I think it will take time, but I think that it is moving on towards that direction. I mean, with people, individuals like myself, and even people like Audrey. And I hope that we can play a positive role in how CCH progress in the future.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And you've all kind of touched on the idea of CCH being somewhere that can almost inspire and educate other churches on inclusion and changing perspectives on autism. And obviously CCH is very unique in what it does, but I wonder what advice each of you would give to churches and our listeners who are in churches and want to create communities where autistic people thrive but maybe just don't know where to start. What advice would you give those people in churches?
Well, in Singapore, we a number of our parents have actually taken the initiative to write stories of families with children or adults with autism. And maybe one of the first things is just to read stories. Yeah, allow the narrative to speak and to dramatize and to help them identify. Some things are best learned through stories. I think that's the first thing. Then of course they can read. When they go to the Bible and they study and they try to analyze, perhaps they might. It allows them to see certain things, certain aspects of God. Yeah. Another is of course just to visit churches that are practicing it. Visit, immerse, be with them, join them for a service. You can talk about it, but it's nothing like being there, or maybe even to volunteer for that matter. Spend some time. I'm not sharing this because we need manpower, but it's, I think that's the best way to learn, just to be immersed in the situation. So even like in the autism center, we have people just coming to immerse themselves, and it is in doing so, then you can feel, and you can think, and you intuitively you know how to, you know what you should be doing. Yeah. And so it's a matter of speaking to your leadership in church and so forth. So I think that's reading stories, visiting churches that is practicing, dialoguing with people who are trying their best. And of course, praying and be patient, because it's not easy for any church to come around and to this. I think I've spoken to many who wants to do this in their church, and they struggle with the leadership in the church, like say. So I tell them to pray and maybe even to pray for their leaders. Yeah. And if you can get your leaders to come over, that would be best, right? Yeah. So I guess some of these things, I'm sure Audrey and David can add on.
Okay. I like what Pastor David said about all these practices, but I would think start first with an attitude of humble love and service, and start with accepting people as God made them to be, and maybe we should stop trying to change inherent traits. I think especially in the church, I would say stop trying to co-opt religious fervor in order to change how people are, because you know we are just born the way we are. And if we could take a step back to consider perhaps God's place the neurodivergent amongst you to trouble the comfortable and comfort the trouble, that's something that a professor of mine once said. And yeah, if you could welcome neurodivergent who are troubling your previously unchallenged norms and unquestioned biases of how things are meant to be, I think that's a great start, just being open to that. Because personally, I've come to see my own existence this way, that most of my life I've been told, mostly in positive ways, you know, but sometimes with this sigh of resignation, like, oh, it takes someone like you, Audrey, to do whatever I'm doing or say whatever I'm saying, you know, speaking up, pointing out things that look amiss, or being fully invested with passion in something, special interest, being a whistleblower. I like to see myself sometimes as that kid who sticks his finger out and says, the emperor has no clothes. And pretty much resisting the tyranny of the cult of normalcy and normativity. So I see neurodivergence as not a disability, not a deficit, like David Hahn said, but as a gift to society, to the church, really, especially a prophetic gift, if we're willing to stop and take notice.
And I think I would like to carry on from what Pastor David had said earlier on. I think I will use three words to describe what I think would be good advice for churches who want to create communities where autistic people are accepted. Listen, understand, change. And I think one fundamental thing that needs to be done here, right, it's before we go into the practicalities of what sort of facilities that we need, what sort of practices that we need in church to accept autistic people, the attitude must change, as Audrey was saying just now. We need to sit down and listen to the stories, the experiences, and to understand why autistic people think and behave in a certain way, speak in a certain way. Because if we do not want to have an attitude of openness to understand and listen what autistic people has to say, what the experiences are, more or less what would happen is that churches would just heap onto them like religious fervor, right? Expecting them to conform the way that neurotypicals do, which is what Audrey was trying to convey just now. Because I came across situations where I was in discussion groups on regards to disability issues, and it was in a church setting. And so straight away, the people were saying, okay, let's have these facilities, let's have these things that we could do for autistic people and caregivers and family members. But I realized that something was missing. Do they understand what autism is? Do they understand what neurodivergent is? That's why I really appreciate what Pastor David shared just now, the need to understand, the need to learn about autism. And that is where I think CCH has played a significant role, because it is a place where people can come and learn about what autism is. And if you know what autism is and what neurodivergent is, I think there is need to change in the sense of discarding defective theologies that I think are unhelpful in understanding what autism is and how to encompass autistic people. And I would dare to say, and I'll be very upfront here, right? Autistic people are not known to be to hide their true feelings, so I'll be very blunt here. I'm willing to say that confessional Reformed theology, Reformed tradition especially, where I came from, used to come from, right, has serious deficiency in this. I will not go into details, right? But we need to discard some of those faulty theologies that have shaped the way that we have engaged autistic people. And once that can be done, I think everything else would fall into place. That's my perspective.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's so easy for churches to want like a checklist of things that will make their church more autistic friendly. But what you're really all saying is it's listening, it's understanding autism. And as you said, immersing yourself in these communities that are addressing autism and faith in a healthy and welcoming way. Yeah, it's really helpful what you've all shared. It's been an absolute delight to speak with you all and hear more about CCH and what the church is doing. And I hope that our listeners will have some inspiration from this church and, yeah, everything that we've discussed today. And thank you to everyone who's listened today. If you have any questions or just want to say hi, you can find us on social media at Autism and Theology, or email us at cat@abdn.ac.uk. And if, as listeners, you would like to hear more about the Chapel of Christ Our Hope, we'll add some links into the show note for their website and other resources that you can have a look at. And if you have any questions for Pastor David, Audrey, or David Han, just send us an email and we can pass that on to them. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to the Autism and Theology podcast. If you have any questions for us or just want to say hi, please email us at cat@abdn.ac.uk or find us on Twitter at Autism Theology.